during my addiction, I would just lock myself in my room. I would isolate myself from the outside world. I didn't want to socialize. I didn't want to get involved in anything. They've got all these bright colors. It's gamified. Whether it's FIFA coins or Rust skins or CSGO skins, most games have some sort of gambling economy behind it. It was seen as part of the game, part of the fun. In reality, you were losing hundreds of pounds. You know, you're betting on hopes and dreams. It's not calculated. It's not smart. It's just hoping for a big win. There was a huge hype around GameStop and a few other stocks. I was really into that wave of trying to get lucky and buy the dip.
Today's guest is Ali, and he shares his story about skins gambling and day trading and how the two combine to create a very dangerous gambling addiction. But before we dive into that, I just want to say a lot of you watch regularly, but you're not yet subscribed. So do me a favor and smash that subscribe button. And my promise to you is that I will do everything in my power to spread the word that gambling addiction is real. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the One Day at a Time podcast. Today's guest is Alistair, or Ali No Bets, as he goes on TikTok. He's going to be here sharing his story of gambling addiction and recovery, as he is now 4 years clean from his last bet. Ali, thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me.
So let's set the scene here. It's your first podcast, so the pressure's on. Let's jump right into it and tell me exactly what happened the first day that you gambled.
So this was a while ago now, around about 4 years ago. And I was sat in my room one day playing video games. I was playing Counter-Strike Global Offensive, which is a huge game. And back then, there was a huge hype around skins and unlocking cases and all these things. You'd see streamers unlocking all these expensive skins. I thought, damn, I want to give that a try. So I opened a few cases in-game, and this is kind of where the addiction started. Both of my compulsive gambling addictions weren't your conventional types of gambling. So I more gambled in online games. So games like CSGO, Rust, FIFA, things that gave you ways of winning in-game items for real money. I also was addicted to day trading, which is another form of gambling, in my opinion. So I think that's something also we should touch on in this podcast. Yeah, so I was never really a casino. Well, actually, I went to the casinos when I was younger. I would spin some slots. In the UK, we have ones where, like, you can put 10p in, you know, win 10p back, that kind of stuff. That was my first kind of experience in gambling, I suppose. But it was more controlled and more fun. But later going into different things like, yeah, online games and trading the markets, which were my kind of ways of gambling. But never went into sports betting or really, you know, classic games like blackjack, etc.
I think that this is a good angle to take because up until recently, I really hadn't been focusing on day trading in the stock market much at all. And also, I'd say that a large portion of my audience probably doesn't know what CSGO is. And so we can take basically either route, but could you just kind of describe how you were gambling with either of these two things? I mean, the stock market's investing, right?
Well, you would think. There's a difference between smart investing and high-risk investing, which in hindsight is just gambling. But you see so many people online glorify it and make it seem like it's this amazing skill that you can learn that's profitable long term. It's just not the case. It follows the same principles as any kind of gambling in terms of it's high emotion. You end up chasing your losses. You end up, you know, taking risk that you wouldn't have taken before. So where it went downhill for me was the first bet that I put on the market gave me like £100. And to me, that was incredible because it was more than I earned in a whole day, right? So I thought, man, I've got to keep chasing this. This is real. Like, it could actually work out. Over time, I would increase the stake amounts and just put more on the line so that I could win more in less time. Now, this would end up in bigger losses, more emotion in terms of, you know, revenge betting. I would be like, man, I've got to win this back as soon as possible. I'd end up doubling my stakes, trying to win back the money that I'd lost. And it's the same in any kind of gambling, really. You just kind of lose yourself in a cycle of trying to make back what you've just lost, but digging yourself into a deeper hole. And to me, day trading follows the exact same principle, which is why, you know, it's such a glamorized way of gambling, in my opinion.
The language that you use talking about it's pretty interesting to me, and it's probably something that a lot of audience members flag. You're talking about stakes. You're talking about your wagers. You're upping your bet is what you're calling it. At the time that you were doing it, were you calling it that, or were you viewing it as investing with an intelligent strategy? Like, how did you view it during the time you were doing it?
So I viewed it as a system. I viewed it as an educated guess was my kind of way of saying, I'm going to bet on this to dive, or you've got a bull and a bear market. I would always bet against, you know, it going up or down. To me, that was an educated guess, a calculated risk I was going to take. You know, you have the stop losses, you have when you're going to take profit. But in reality, you don't know what's going to happen with the market. It is so unpredictable. But you're just led to believe by a lot of influencers online that you can have a predictable system to make money with it. Same goes for sports betting. I've seen so many people talk about how you could predictably make money from sports betting, which is just kind of ludicrous in my opinion. But yeah,
agreed.
That's how I would describe it.
It's interesting because I mean, I did a lot of stock trading myself. Were you trading like options?
So my forte was not Forex. So I started off in, so options is like oil and gold, right? Or is that?
That would be commodities. Options is like when you're buying the right to 100 shares at a specific strike price, and you're kind of betting that the market will go up or down so that you can cash in the difference.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, it started off on futures. I then got into penny stocks, and basically this is where it went downhill for me because, you know, you could invest at 0.5 pennies. You could put a few hundred pounds in this stock and think that overnight, if it shoots up, I could retire. Very high risk stocks, nothing like, you know, your FTSE 100 or your NASDAQ. You know, you're betting on hopes and dreams. It's not calculated. It's not smart. It's just hoping for a big win.
And what got you kind of into that? Because I think we glossed over that. Were you someone who was working in the finance field? Were you seeing it online? Like, what made you start doing the trades that you were doing?
I've always been into business, and I've always been, you know, looking up to influencers online who would talk about ways of making money online. I would see these influencers saying, you know, look at my lifestyle, look how I've got here. You can do it by copying my trades, for example, or learn this method to consistently make money this way. Escape the 9-to-5, these kind of things, right? It's quite glorious to hear as a young guy who wants to make it big, I suppose.
Sure. I think that it's a really important topic to hone in on. A lot of my audience, not all of them, but a lot of my audience are young men who are doing, they're basically in the same position that you were in. You know, they're watching their favorite influencers. They're either streaming slots and making millions, or they're trading and making millions. It all is this dream that people are being sold. At what point did you realize that, you know, it wasn't actually the truth? Did it take you going through years of up and down trades, or was it something that you kind of caught on earlier?
So at the beginning of it, I was quite delusional, I'd say. It took me a couple of years to realize that this isn't the way out. This isn't the escape plan for me. Yeah, I'd say about 2 years in, I started to get thoughts in the back of my mind of like, why am I doing this? I'm wasting my time. I never win anything because I've had some big wins, but it was never enough. It was just enough to kind of say, hey, that was worth it. But I never broke even. I never really profited from it. I never really withdrew ever. It just all went back into the market, all went back into, you know, gambling, basically. My kind of moment of thinking, so I kind of realized, you know, it's pointless me doing this because I don't actually spend any money on myself. So why am I trying to just build wealth to put it back into the market, if that makes sense? Because we did gloss over the gaming aspect of it. Just to touch back on that, I spent a lot of time unlocking cases on sites like hellcase.com and a few others out there. They've got all these bright colors. It's gamified. You can unlock all these skins, these knives. And I feel like a lot of people my age would relate to that because we've all gone through a stage of that, you know, whether it's FIFA coins or Rust skins or CSGO skins. Most games have some sort of gambling economy behind it. And it's one of the big reasons why Counter-Strike was so big, because there was such a big gambling scene behind it. But it wasn't seen as gambling. It was seen as part of the game, part of the fun. even though in reality you were losing hundreds of pounds trying to unlock these skins and resell them for a higher price. It's just, yeah, it was a very unrecognized form of it.
Putting a pin in that, I think that that's important context for people who don't know what you're talking about, right? People who maybe are a little bit older, or maybe their kids are doing this, like they're seeing that their kids are getting these skins or these in-game items of some kind in the video games that they're playing.
Yeah.
What is that economy like that it becomes a gambling mechanic? What can you do with CSGO skins?
So the economy is that you can resell them online, but within that platform. So once you put money into a game like CSGO, it just stays there, basically. You can't really profit from it in reality. So you can resell these skins for, you know, twice the amount that you won them for or bought them for. But in reality, that money, you know, it's very hard to withdraw it without going through fees and a withdrawing process. So most people just end up spending it again in unlocking cases, spinning different, you know, games, trying to unlock knives. So it was really a whole different world that people get sucked into, and I did myself.
And another aspect of it, to kind of offer up a fake solution, I guess, to the fact that it was hard to cash out, is I know that a lot of the skins and knives from CSGO can be directly redeemed for money on casino partner websites. Did you ever find yourself gambling the skins or anything like that?
Yes. So this was also another turning point for me, is I had built up a good inventory of skins, right? I was very proud of myself, but it was never really enough for me. So one night I went onto a site where I decided to upload these skins. It was a CSGO skin site disguised as a casino, if you like. And then I put these skins on the line and lost them all overnight. That was really, that really hit home that this was kind of an issue. I was completely numb inside. Honestly, I just thought, what the hell have I just done? You know, I couldn't believe it. I felt scammed in a way.
When you put them on that site, like, what was the intention? Were you looking to double the amount that they were worth? Were you going to win cryptocurrency? Like, why did you put the skins at risk?
It was basically to double the amount that they were worth. So I was thinking of, you know, if I can just double the amount of these skins, if they sell, or if I double my money by getting a different knife or a different skin, then I could, you know, sell them all and withdraw the money. That was the kind of intention behind it, because I was getting to a point where I wanted to invest more in the stock market. So I thought this could be a way to get more money to do that.
I see. It's a shortcut, essentially.
A shortcut. Any little way I could make a little bit more money here and there.
What age were you when you started playing CSGO?
So I would be about 14, I think. And that's kind of when it started.
Parents could be watching this and thinking, oh my God, like, my kid plays this video game, CSGO. Are they gambling? Yeah. Would you say that from age 14, you were basically doing skins gambling?
Yes. And I was definitely exposed to it. Not just in game, but online as well. You know, a lot of the YouTube videos I was watching were game related. Mm-hmm. They seemed innocent to many people. They've all got these really expensive inventories, these really cool looking skins that you could have as well. So you kind of feel like you're missing out and you want to have those skins too. But to get those skins, you have to gamble for them. I was definitely heavily influenced from the get-go, basically.
Gambling can absolutely wreck your finances, but you don't have to fix it alone. At Gamfin, they help people struggling with gambling debt to take back control. Whether it's budgeting, debt management, or rebuilding your financial future, their experts are here with real solutions. No judgment, just support. Your money doesn't have to define you. Visit Gamfin.org today and take the first step toward financial recovery by meeting with one of their financial advisors. Hope starts here. It always makes me cringe a little bit when I hear older adults talking about skins, because they think kids view them as status symbols for some reason. And to a certain extent, I guess, maybe. But at the end of the day, you were basically from age 14 being conditioned to try to create more value by wheeling and dealing and negotiating and then gambling your inventory to try to make a higher value inventory. It wasn't that it was a status symbol. It wasn't that, oh, we wanted to have the pretty color, right? It was to make money.
Yeah, it was to make money. I saw it as entrepreneurial. If I can do this in-game, I can make a career out of it. But, I mean, completely delusional.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
Well, what was your career during this time? So, you know, let's talk maybe at the peak of things. When you were putting the most money into the stock market and the most into the skins, what age were you and what were you doing for work?
It all started before I started working. So, you know, it was during lockdown. The peak of this is when I was about 20 to 21. So at about 21 years old, I was working a 9-to-5 in e-commerce, a normal 9-to-5, right? I was excited to earn some proper money for once than trying to just get my way there through gambling. That was really a hard part. It was really a big year for me, because that's the year I went sober. It's the year that changed everything for me. The reason is, every day, you know, I would wake up, I'd have 20 minutes to get ready to go to work. So I'd be rushing out the door, straight into the car, get to work. Basically, as soon as I got to work, I would be betting on stocks. I'd be looking at markets, checking skins, trading skins, these kind of things during my work hours. And it was burning me out. And people were wondering, why can't this guy keep up with work? You know, what's he doing? And I wasn't going to tell anyone. You know, I was lying as much as possible, because it was a bit of a shameful act for me to do. So I didn't want anyone to know that I was doing it. But where it really went wrong for me is that I started using every paycheck I would get from work to put into the market, to try and double it overnight, to try and make more. And that went on for like 8 months. And in those 8 months, I didn't earn a dime, because I just put it straight into the market, tried to double it straight away. And I go into work the next day, really sad, just full of guilt, full of regrets, and then wait for the next paycheck so that I could go again. And I'd wait for the next paycheck just to try again, basically. I couldn't wait for that, for that day, until it just got too much. And one day I lost a bet, lost all my monthly wages during work. I was like, I've got to stop this, man. This is unbelievable. I've just worked for no reason this whole past year. I worked for nothing. So I rushed out the door as soon as the clock hit 5, got into the car and just screamed, bro, like burst into tears, screaming. I'd lost all that time, all that money. I felt like it was all for nothing, just because I wanted to try and, you know, retire myself from believing I can do it in the stock market, believing I can do it with CSGO and other little forms of gambling. Just, yeah, that was a real low point for me. That definitely changed everything.
So you were 20 to 21 years old, and you were thinking that you were going to retire based on what happened in the stock market at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Because around that age, I don't know if you remember, but there was a huge hype around GameStop. There was a huge hype around GameStop and a few other stocks. So I was really into that wave of trying to get lucky and buy the dip and sell, because I was seeing dudes make millions from this, and I was thinking, yeah, I've got to get in on this as well.
Yeah, I think that it kind of points to a bigger problem, is that I feel this too, because it's something that I still struggle with. It's like young men in particular are now being told that you have to get incredibly wealthy at an incredibly young age or you're a failure. That if you're not a millionaire by 25, you screwed up. If you're not a multi-billionaire by 30 with your 7 Lambos in Dubai, then something that went wrong, right? Yeah. And I think that the only feasible way that this generation is conceptualizing getting to that fast enough, you know, when they're working jobs where they're making $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, and they know they're not going to become millionaires by that age, they think we need a shortcut, right? We need to gamble, we need to trade, we need to hustle, we need to do something. Do you feel like you fell into that as a trap, like that you saw it as the only way to attain success?
100%. I wasn't satisfied with a regular job. I had to have another way of an escape, because the whole notion is to escape the 9-to-5, right? And to me, that was a good way of doing it, is through gambling. It was the easiest way. You can do it on your phone. So it was so accessible and so kind of not easy to learn. People were teaching you ways to do it, where they were telling you, you know, you can actually make a living from this. And I believed it. So yeah, definitely I got caught up in that.
Yeah, I mean, you're not alone. I was in it too. And still, it's something that I still struggle with mentally, because it always feels like you're behind when you're comparing yourself to people's highlight reels. And it's just something that it's very difficult to understand. I think I've gotten a little better with it because of the fact that I create content now. I understand what needs to be done for content to succeed. And I know that I'm now like looking at a very, very small fraction of success that doesn't even represent the entire person's life. But I think a lot of young men in particular, if every single video you see is someone's Lamborghini, you're going to think that that's normal. That's what I need to have or else I failed. You know, how does the entrepreneurial drive change for you now that you are 4 years clean from your last bet? How have you made strides toward attaining more from a business perspective without gambling holding you back?
So when you stop gambling, you have a lot of free time to play with, I noticed. And since I was always inclined to learn all about business, I applied all my free time into learning new skills. So the first thing I got into was copywriting, and then that went into different areas of marketing, so like email marketing, etc. A lot of the time that I lost, or I applied a lot of the free time that I had into kind of upskilling things, because I wanted to, yeah, get into business, build things, make a social impact. Quitting gambling for me opened my eyes in terms of what was possible, because to me at the time, it was just all about isolating myself in this world of, you know, grinding and finding the right cryptos, the right stocks, these kind of things. I kind of reset my mind to look at things long term. Yeah, started from the ground up, basically.
The reason that we got here today and we got connected is because I saw some of your TikToks. You're starting to make content about your story, motivating young men particularly to pursue a life without gambling, without drinking, without drugs. I want to know, what's your experience been giving that message to this audience? What kind of pushbacks have you had? What kind of successes have you had? And how has it changed your outlook on your own recovery journey?
I believe that the direction of content that I'm pushing at the moment is what's needed, because you can call it de-influencing, right? I'm de-influencing gambling. And I'm trying to kind of connect with those guys who are watching all these motivational videos on, you know, getting rich quick and seeing all these lifestyle videos. Trying to connect with those guys and tell them, hey, look, gambling isn't going to get you there. It just isn't. It didn't get me there, and it probably won't get you there. There's a very, very slim chance of that. So there's no point taking that risk. I've had many people DM me asking for advice on, you know, how can I quit this addiction? I'm in so much debt right now. How do I get out of it? I owe people money. Most notably, I've had more women pop up to me and ask for advice. Most notably, I had a woman message me about, hey, I've got this gambling addiction. I think it's a gambling addiction on Facebook, where they have slot games and, you know, like Candy Crush type games. And she was asking for advice from me. She said that, you know, my husband doesn't know about this and I've been spending all of our money. And I was like, okay. So I've had a lot of messages from a lot of different people who have different problems, but all have the same kind of issue with addiction. It could be any type of gambling, but it all comes back to the same feelings, the same amount of money lost, the same debt situation, the same mental state, you know.
Those are the DMs. And I find that at least with my content, the DMs are usually quite positive. It's people reaching out to, you know, ask for help, but also to say like, thanks for the content, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
What about the comments? What kind of comments do you see on your posts from, let's call it the 18 to 24 year old male demographic?
Gotcha. So I definitely receive a lot of, you know, flash. What's the word? I do receive a lot of strife. I think because what I'm doing is challenging their beliefs. A lot of gambling addicts out there are still in denial, right? They gamble every day and they don't believe that it's a problem. Even if maybe they don't recognize it's a problem yet, because it took me a couple of years to recognize it was an actual problem. And for me to hit rock bottom. But for a lot of people getting into gambling at the moment, they see it as a fun thing to do. Even if they're losing money, it's just a fun hobby, right? But the truth is that it's a slippery slope. It's a very destructive habit. I don't want guys my age to miss out on their potential.
You don't want people to go down the same path that you did.
Yeah, I don't want people to follow my path, basically. It's not good.
Within like how it's made you feel to create this content, how has making the TikToks changed your own perspective of your own recovery?
Yeah, so I realized that I'm not alone. That's for one thing. My recovery was very much in silence. I never really told anyone about my problems, and people still don't know. So me coming on TikTok, being so open about my issues, is basically the first time that I've actually been talking about it to anyone. I just felt there was a huge need for people to know and to hear my story. In terms of my own recovery, it's made me realize how lucky I was in my situation to catch myself before going into debt, or before ending up, you know, having to sell things off to pay for things. I was very, very fortunate in my recovery. But I do recommend that people seriously talk to someone that they trust. Say, hey, look, I think I've got this issue. I think, you know, I can't really stop myself from gambling. It's getting bad. You know, I'm losing all my money. I want you to help me out here. I think it's important for people to speak to someone, because it's something that I didn't do. I do regret it. If people would just speak to someone and just be open and honest about their situation, they're far more likely to recover a lot faster than I did.
In addition to the dopamine resets, in addition to talking to someone about what was going on, what else have you done to sustain your recovery?
To sustain my recovery. So because I hit such a, you know, a wall when it came to my addiction, from the day that I stopped, it's a very blurry memory, because it's something that I've always tried to forget about, to ensure that I don't think about it again, basically. So now that I'm 4 years clean, I barely get any gambling related thoughts. I have no urges to invest in the market unless it's in, you know, like a Roth IRA or something. The thing that helped me sustain my addiction recovery was distracting myself in as many ways as possible. So I spent a lot of time building a new routine, changing habits, trying to recognize what needs to change in my life, basically. I picked up new things like joining sports clubs, so playing football, learning to play golf again. I found myself a partner as well, which all before, you know, during my addiction, I would just lock myself in my room. I would isolate myself from the outside world. I didn't want to socialize. I didn't want to get involved in anything. I think one of the most key things to my recovery was distracting myself, you know, having no time to think about it, and filling my time with learning skills, being part of, you know, a club, going out.
You know, I just recently watched, I don't know if you've seen it, Adolescence on Netflix.
Yeah.
And the root of the story was that this young man, or this young boy, I guess he was like 12, 13 years old, is influenced by this group online that he develops a hatred for women, and he develops certain feelings toward the world that he otherwise might not have just growing up and being around people. So it's becoming apparent that the new generation is not only highly influenced, but they're influenced in a way that it feels like everyone else on earth agrees with them, because that's what they see on social media. In your mission, what do you think is the most important thing for young men, maybe between the ages of as young as 10 years old, all the way up until they're 25? What's something that they should internalize to make sure that they're living a successful life?
I wish someone told me that you have time, right? You have time to figure things out. You don't have to get rich right now. You've got years ahead of you to work it out, to learn new things, to try different things in life. I wish that someone told me that I've got more time to spend. I don't have to rush into being a millionaire straight away. Work on your development, you know, work on learning new skills, trying new things, traveling, stuff like this.
What would you like to accomplish over the next 5 years with your content, with your message, with your life? What do you want to accomplish?
Okay. So I found this new purpose. I want to help people overcome their gambling addiction. So I'm kind of on a mission to help as many people as I can, you know, my age, understand that getting rich quick is a fallacy. It's sold to you. I really want to hammer home that, you know, you have time. You're very young. You have time to learn things, to try things. My mission in life at the moment is helping the people that were in my situation, basically, for the next 5 years. It's what I'm really passionate about. Yeah, help as many as I can. Because I could have been in a different place in life if I didn't go through those years. But saying that, now that I look back on the time that I spent gambling and you know, losing all this money, I look at it as a lesson that I learned very, very hard, the hard way. Yes, I still regret the time that I lost from doing all these things. But the way I see it now is it shaped me for who I am now, 4 years later. So people go through hardships all the time and it shapes them, shapes who they are. So, yeah.
I can relate to that. I mean, if you had asked me 5 years ago, would I be recording a podcast about gambling addiction? I would have said, no, like I'm going to go and bet today. Like, I don't know what I would have said, but the things that you go through really do shape your future, and being able to embrace that and use that to help someone else is really, really an intense gift. I want to just say that if anyone wants to check out any of your content, it's going to be linked in the description of this video. And to anyone watching this video that wants to hear another story of someone who's entered recovery from gambling addiction, check out this video next, and let's keep getting better together one day at a time.